Here we go.
Closing main breaker.
We're back.
What a flight that was.
That's great.
How do you see those little bags, you know?
This is going to be the show to take. Well, if you haven't bought an iPod today or an MP3, this is the show you're going to want to. No, you're going to want to emblazon this show on a CD. There's no plan, or two, however long it is. It's going to be a good show today.
You'll wish we had video, I'm telling you.
Isn't that the truth? No, what is May? Today is what, May 4th?
Star Wars Day.
My sister Monica's birthday.
Star Wars, and tomorrow's.
Hey.
Hector's birthday, dude.
Cool.
And Josie.
He's 80.
Well, he really is, too. And he's still pumping the Viagra.
Yep.
Levitt. Major donor. That's right. Oh, my God. I'll tell you, he lived long enough to see that. That's cool. No, this is great. This is a great show. And it's made for. So, tomorrow's Cinco de Mayo.
Mm-hmm.
And tonight's Gator Stomping.
Really?
Yes, tonight's Gator Stomping.
Tell me that.
I'm sorry.
So, when are gators puking in your yard tonight?
They
end up at the other side
of town. You know, one of those things. Anyway, listen, I wanted to say thank you to a bunch of people. While we're getting started here.
You guys did good.
You did good. Sign up. People are signing up.
Sign up for our mailing list.
For our mailing list. We're doing well. I want to say hello to Jeff and Brock and Houston. Houston is not the city. It's a guy. And Houston sent us some stuff on the teen screen.
Mm-hmm.
And we do want to do it, but we won't have time this time, unfortunately. I really appreciate it. And Mark also sent us got some really good emails from people, and we'll talk about some of this stuff, and really, really appreciate it. Did want to also do a shout-out to two dead people, in case they can hear us. Mm-hmm. Louis Rukeyser, one of my very favorite people.
Yeah,
bad news. Libertarian-type guy, and he finally did. And the other one on a totally opposite side of the coin, the last remaining, quintessential Keynesian, John Kenneth Galbraith, finally died, age, 98 or something like that.
Can you imagine what
lived
the difference...
Lived about 30 years too long. Yeah. No, maybe not.
Can you imagine the difference in society if Rukeyser had been the advisor to all the presidents and not Galbraith?
Is that the truth? That is exactly the truth. And, of course, what people don't realize is that Keynesian economics, of course, was a god... It was manna from heaven. It was a godsend to government because it said government can cure it all. All you do is you take the money from the people.
Even the private sector, it cures.
Right. It cures everything. I mean, his basic philosophy was the citizens are dolts. And the enlightened elite can fix it all. And that was basic. And we'll do it.
And the way to do it is, we're going to take your money and we're going to spend it in the economy and thereby pump the economy, prime the economy, get it going, keep it going.
That's right. As if the money in the economy wouldn't be there
anyway.
Right. Like people, you rotten people are keeping it in your mattresses.
They're going to spend it in the wrong place.
In the wrong places. Yeah. They're spending on porno and
pinball.
Gambling.
Porno, gambling. We're going to talk a little bit about gambling
here. Don't take it over the Indian reservations or we won't get a dime.
That's it. Anyway, I did want to also mention, we got Las Vegas is still number two. I did get an email. Las Vegas. People are writing our names all over Las Vegas, and unfortunately.
I heard,
but unfortunately, I think it's the men's room.
It's along with epitaphs.
I told him, you need to dress in drag or something, go in the ladies' room. Go on over to the Bunny Ranch and write it up there, see if we can.
It on one of the bunnies at the Bunny Ranch.
Isn't that the truth? Yeah, we can make up the tattoo.
What's this Dreamy Own Show thing?
But I did want to tell you, we'll show
it. Do I still put the dollar there? I know.
Yeah. No, the other thing is we are corralling the international market.
I did notice that.
What
happened?
I don't know.
Jimmy?
Well, we are on liberalismo.
I
didn't sign us up. Somebody put us on the Espanol network.
Hola.
Hola, Espanoles.
Spain is rocking it up.
Poco de tengo que hablar es poco de español.
Hey, look,
si,
you did learn something.
That's right.
In all honesty, though, they have given us more hits this month so far than Google.
And let me tell you, it's from all over Spain. Mm-hmm. It's from Argentina and from Mallorca, which of course part of Spain, but I mean, and the Canary Islands, for God's sakes. We are nailing. This, we're going to have to do a podcast in Spanish. I'm going to have to brush up on my...
Bienvenido a los personas hispanicos.
Las personas hispanicas. Right. Way to go.
Bienvenidos a Jimmy Dolan.
Yes, that's right. Well, we could actually, if I got tuned up a little bit in Espanol, I could probably fake it.
I could get someone to sign it in Spanish for you.
So, yeah, oh, cool. Also, we got, you know, Finland, South Africa, Russia.
South Africa.
That's right. Russia.
That was our first hit from Russia.
First hit from Russia. I couldn't believe it.
No, Australia.
And we also got, guess what, from Bangalore, India.
And I'm telling you, that's going to be a great thing.
No, this is where all the techies are.
Right.
It'd be cool.
Welcome, everybody.
That's right.
I told you, welcome to the world.
Yeah, but don't forget to sign up. And also, I want to put you to donate, right? Well, my favorite intellectual libertarian website is freedomain.com, which is Stefan Molyneux up in Canada.
And I checked a little bit about that. Boy, he's esoteric. I mean, he is.
Oh, yeah. No, he's good, though. He's smart. And I'll say this much: he really can gabble along in a line. He has a couple little minor problems that I need to write him about. But I mean, other than that, the stuff that he has to say generally,
once he gets his premise, he sticks to it and he spins out the story.
Unlike us here on the
unlike us, right? No, I mean he's Spock. You know, I mean he's got the logic down. You know, done ice cold on the stuff, and you can't. You know, it's with.
I'm gonna double check him on some things.
Well, I did, and I wrote him on one or two, and I got dissed for it. So I.
Well, at least you still promote him.
Because the stuff on there, I mean, God, the guy does like two a day or something. Right. I mean, he's up to 200 or 300, whatever. I sent him some money, and I'm in his debt because he wants like 50 cents a podcast or something. And unfortunately, I'm a little lax, but we'll get to it. We'll get to it. So anyway, what we want to talk about today are a couple of things: government intrusion, big news, and want to talk also about Mexico, the back off by Mexico on the decriminalization of
hated it,
right? Internet gambling is a big deal, and Bolivia, of course, the totalitarian rears its ugly head in Bolivia.
Stalin's alive.
That's right. It's gonna be great. Well, it's we're gonna talk a little bit about that, and there are some basic rules that apply, and we will see those in action. As long as
Bolivia breaks the basic economic rules.
Well, yeah, I mean, really, and you know it's coming. I mean, it is an accident. Absolutely, it's not an accident. It's on purpose.
He's snapping. You'd rather be a glass at a Jewish wedding than.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I'm serious. So anyway, let's move on here, and I wanted to talk about the continuing government intrusion.
Okay.
Bring it on.
Court upholds polygraph for sex offenders.
Yep, I saw that.
I thought it was really great. It says, apparently what happens is if you're a sex offender, they can haul you in once a week or whatever and ask you.
And they can crawl up your shorts anytime they feel like it.
And they can say, have you had any thoughts about sexual predator or whatever? Have you ever, you know, about... You know, doing it to kids or something.
Me?
Yeah, me. Look at that, like Beavis and Butthead. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I'm having one right now.
And who hasn't?
Right.
So the thing goes off the chart, and I guess they can lock you up or something like that. But no. I mean, the point is.
That makes sense, doesn't it?
Well, look, we are talking. I thought it was interesting. The defense attorney argued, obviously, Fifth Amendment, you know, right against a crime, self-incrimination.
Number one. Yeah.
And then,
number one.
And the fact is.
Started.
There is that pesky Constitution.
Always gets in the way.
Dang that thing. You know,
they're sweeping it aside.
No, they are.
We ought to pass a law against it.
That's right.
Oh, God! It's the damn Constitution! Let's pass a law against it!
They'd like to do it. So, they have, of course. I mean, the justices, you know, with the Kilo thing, of course, they passed.
Yeah.
I mean, we decided that doesn't. But my point is that the questions that they get to ask, they're supposed to be restricted to, limited to information necessary for supervision, case monitoring and treatment.
They are. According to this ruling, they are.
Right.
Previously, they could ask them anything.
Right.
And see, the idea is if you lie to the interviewer at all, then you violate your probation.
Right.
Okay, this is the same for any kind of probation.
If you fill out
your little form incorrectly by giving them the wrong phone number or something.
Spelled your name wrong.
That's it.
Forgot
and
whatever.
Have you committed any crime this week? No.
He's lying. You know he's lying.
You know that they can get you for anything. Well, I mean, the point is that the defense attorney came up okay. I mean, he said avoid self-incrimination and then... Testing, as we all know, lie detectors, I won't say that they're that unreliable. To be honest with you, I think they're
inadmissible in court.
They're inadmissible in court, but obviously they're admissible here.
But in kangaroo court, everything's
right.
Admissible.
In kangaroo court, everything is admissible. That's right.
That's what it is.
Well, the deal is, though, you think about it. You're a sex offender, okay? And you're going in. I mean, already you are nervous because, let's face it.
Yeah.
You know, have you harbored any thoughts in the land? I mean, who the hell
hasn't?
Right.
You know, I mean, even the Bible says the sin is not in being tempted. It's in giving into temptation. You
right.
And it's not like you're not going to have the thoughts.
So anyway, and of course the guy is funny. He is banned from the internet.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen that.
Well, the point of my question is, what's next? I mean, this is sexual offenders. Okay. This lie detector test. But I mean, what's next? I don't know. Alcoholics, DUI haul you in for a lie detector. I mean, they can give you now. They can, of course, do random drug testing, obviously.
Yeah.
They've all said that that's not self-incrimination.
excuse me.
And yeah, bullshit. Okay.
The only thing stopping them from polygraphing every person on probation is the number of polygraphs and testers they have available to them.
That's probably true. Wow. And we're going to talk a little bit about that in a minute because they're going to, on this intrusion thing, I don't know how far this is down. Yes, it's actually next on our list is the New York State. Are we done with the polygraph thing for right now?
Yeah, I think so. I think if you're out there and you listen to this and somebody says, should we have polygraphs? Say no.
That's right. Just say no. Because I'm telling you, it is going to be that they're going to be able to polygraph you against your will for anything. And I can tell you, think about it for a second. It's the criminals that get away with it. I mean, those are the guys that know everything. But think about it. When a cop you're driving along, you're not doing anything wrong, and you see a cop in your rearview mirror, what happens? Does the adrenaline start?
You hit the gas!
He doesn't want me to fight, then I got to fight.
That's it.
It's my nature.
The fact is, you look there and you think, oh, my God, what have I done? Your heart starts to move. I mean, it's normal. So here you are. You're going to go in for this test, and you know going in.
Hang on one second. Go ahead.
Go ahead and do what? And tell you about these.
Pick up where you left off.
Right. Yeah, right. Look, hey, wait a minute.
All right, go ahead.
It's a little too much to ask, I think.
Right, go ahead. No, I'm sorry. It was one of those things I just forgot the WLAN was on, but I don't think it's going to screw it up too bad. So go ahead.
You mean we weren't going to get a neato sound effect or something? Or, you know, a gunshot, anything? I mean, just,
Well, unfortunately, I actually did have a killer sound effect that I wanted to use for the polygraph thing, but I didn't put it on the MP3 drive. I got the game show, and everybody like goes, and then I got the other one, ding, ding, good answer. Yeah. And I had both those, and I got the wheel spinning, yeah, you know.
Those would have been great.
I know.
Thank you so much, Eric.
I'll edit all that out.
Would have been great.
Yep.
We should pay him
something
more.
To look forward to.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to double your salary.
Right. Okay, I'm editing all this out. So go ahead.
So anyway, the deal is that, what's next? I mean, seriously, does your heart rate rise when you see law abiding, nothing, no problem at all? What have I done? You know,
here's the trick. They bring him in and they ask him, have you thought about something like
this?
Like as if your therapy itself, you'd think you'd have to go back through those thoughts and
trust me. I know from, shall we say,
second, third hand experience.
Yeah. Third hand experience. Right.
Hand.
That's right. So anyway, we're in deep doo doo on that one. So anyway, the other thing is the next thing is that New York State wants to DNA everybody.
Hey, they are. They're not waiting.
No. I think that they're
not just the criminals.
No.
Oh, you're
not
anybody. Okay.
It is. Yes, it's just the criminals. But everybody's a criminal. Misdemeanors, child people. In other words, if you are hauled in and convicted for anything, I would imagine this includes traffic tickets or whatever.
Yeah, and this is not a conviction. I think they're doing it as they haul you in.
As a matter of course,
like the fingerprints and the.
Well, it includes youthful offenders, misdemeanors. And, so anyway, this could be the first one. I think the first one in the nation. Now, the other.
Florida's not far behind that. I can tell you right now.
Well, a lot of states already have for felony convictions.
Yeah. And also there are certain crimes of like intrusion and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That they'll.
But, you know, people are all worried about an ID card.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you a question. If they have a DNA database on everybody, do you think you have to worry about a lousy ID card?
Your DNA is not in order.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly.
Oh,
well, you know, it's one thing. I could just imagine now that you think about it for a second. When you see the James Bond movies or whatever, and they have that little skinny thing that they put on their thumbprint that's somebody else's thumbprint, you know, right, in order to get in. But, I mean, how do you change your DNA?
Did you see Gattaca?
Yeah, I did see it, but I forgot.
Well, they basically planted DNA from somebody else everywhere there was going to be a collection site.
Oh, that's true. Well, there was one guy, as a matter of fact, that knew that his DNA was going to be there, so he, like, threw up or something. And so they said, well, your DNA is here. I mean, he was there, and he knew that if he walked away, that they would find his DNA because he was the crook. It was a cop. It was a bad cop.
Contaminated the whole area.
That's right. That's what you do. And, of course, that's what you're supposed to do in the DUI. You're supposed to carry a bottle of liquor with you. And right. when they stop you, you're supposed to drink it right in front of them.
Yeah.
I keep trying that, but I always end up drinking that bottle. No.
Before they stop you.
Before I drive out of the parking lot.
That's, I know how that works. Anyway, so anyway, that's what they're doing. So, let's see. That was the DNA. And so, the universe.
Watch out.
Yeah, watch out. So, more
keep
intrusion.
Keep your mouth shut.
Keep you out. That's right.
There was a ruling about 15 or 20 years ago, Schmerber versus California, I believe, where they, that's
right.
the first one where they said,
yeah, and I pulled that right out.
The first one where they said, if your person's unconscious, we can still take your blood and test you and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that was really the crossing the line, if you ask me.
Yeah.
That's really where they got to beyond consent. You know, your body is supposed to be your thing. That's your God-given property.
Right.
And why are they messing with it?
It's funny because they're technically not supposed to be able to come into your house without, you know, probable cause. I guess they figured your body is your house or something, yeah. you know, and they had probable cause. I mean, I guess they, did they have to get a warrant to do it? I'll bet they did.
There's some exigency, thing, that is to say, if they figure that the blood, that your alcohol is going to get out of your blood before they can get the warrant, then they can go ahead and take it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, of course, that means that they can always do it.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, because they can always hold that up and say, well, no, yeah, I can, yeah, no, that's, well, again, just look out. I mean, we're heading down, which reminds me, I want to say hello to Chris, too, if he's listening, and, mm-hmm. and tell him and remind him that I am looking for that hideaway, and he needs to go out and find it. Because we need to make sure that it's enough off the beaten track that people don't kind of stumble up there, but on the beaten track so I can go shopping.
Right.
And off, shall we say, off the mainland. Okay. So anyway.
Get on it, Chris.
Yeah, that's right. So now I'm going to move on. Have you got anything else on this? Okay. The next thing I've got is, let's see. We've got government intrusion. I want to talk about the net wiretapping. Yeah, the wiretapping. Let me just move on here. Okay. Wiretapping, big deal. The FCC unanimously approved.
That means everybody, right?
Yeah. Pretty much. Pretty much.
The committee of one.
Right. That's right. They unanimously approved that they're going to levy a tax on companies, municipalities, and universities. And what this tax is going to pay for is
their salaries.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you bet. Well, what they're going to do is they want to pay for a back door to all computer servers, you know, in the municipalities.
World.
In the world, right. So that they can wiretap without, and they can sneak in, and they don't have to get a warrant, basically. In other words, they want a backdoor, mandatory backdoor that's universal.
Like in war games.
Yes, exactly.
When they had, Joshua. We know what the code word should be is Joshua. Then they could have, you know.
That's right. And you go, it's the first thing on the list. You go,
shall we play the game?
You go through Falcon's Maze.
Right, that's right.
That's right. No, I mean, no question. You go through Falcon's Maze. And they want to have Falcon's Maze sitting there.
Right.
That with code word Joshua. We
admit, right.
So we're telling you up front, folks, that they're probably going to use Joshua.
I'm going to use the international internet. Instead.
Okay, good.
Well, I'm sticking to the local internet.
Wait a minute, is that the outer net?
Yeah. I'm going to use the outer net.
I love that damn internet. We're going to use the outer net.
What was that in War Games? It was General Barringer. It was played by Barry Corbin or whatever.
Yeah.
And he had that. What was that quote?
This is the greatest quote in the world. I don't want my missiles to be launched by any silicone diode.
I did find one quote from him, actually.
God damn it, I'd piss on a spark plug if I thought it'd do any good.
Now that could hurt. That could hurt. No, that's great. Anyway, this is really bad because the tax is, first of all, they want this to do the snooping in the backdoor business, so to speak. And we speak about backdoor here, and we're not talking, there's no sexual reference here. Shut up.
Oh. Man, this is talking about.
Although you'd be getting it in your backdoor sexual reference.
Wait, yeah, that's right. That's right. This is the giant colostomy, whatever it is. Giant colonoscopy. Colonoscopy. Colonposcopy.
There's no way they're going to get that. I mean,
they're going to do it. I'm telling you. And the fact is, and that to add insult to injury,
we're paying for our own.
Do you think for a second that if the government has a backdoor for quote unquote easy surveillance,
They probably won't use it.
No, 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 heck no.
They probably won't use it except when they have to.
Well, no, only when they're going only after bad guys.
Well, let me tell you.
And do you think anybody else would maybe try to find that back door?
No. Let me tell you.
No, that's for official use only.
I'm going to read you.
It's for official use only.
No, this is off of CNETnews.com. I'm going to read you this right out of thing here. It says, federal police agencies have spent years lobbying for mandatory back doors for easy surveillance. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's right here.
There you go.
That's it. Criminals, terrorists, and spies could cloak their internal internet communications with impunity unless centralized wiretapping hubs become mandatory.
Make it easier for them to get into.
It's called greasing.
Right.
I believe that's called the greasing.
Do you think people in government are going to be able to keep a secret as far as that? You got to be kidding me.
Somebody figured out that it was going to require a tuition hike for $450 for every student in the nation. And of course, I don't see it here exactly. I thought I did, but normally it's for the children.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it
and well, stops terrorists.
Stops terrorists. It's always right. Stop terrorists and for children.
Right.
And we're going to protect you.
But it's, the children. Just, it's amazing because that's such a blackmail scenario when you've got, I mean, you can't be mean to the government at all. You know, I mean, in other words, if they can come out. Yeah, I know.
No, this is a classic case. As you say, you can't be mean to the government, and it reminds me of that saying that they used in Germany right after or during the Second World War.
That's right, Hitler.
You know, first they came for the Unionists, but I wasn't one of them, so I didn't complain. And then they came for the Catholics, but I wasn't one for. And then they came on and on and on right. About four or five things, and then they came for me, but there was nobody left to complain. And that's what a lot of this stuff is. So it's
so start complaining, people.
Yeah, that's right. Well,
apparently the American Council of Education, which represents 1,800 colleges and universities, estimated that the cost of this CALEA compliance could total roughly $7 billion for the higher education
right,
community.
Well, they've allocated. Of course, they want to pass the tax. They currently spend $500 million on it.
Right.
So they're $6.5 billion
right.
Short.
But as far as the children are concerned, this is going to be a tuition hike of $450 for every student in the nation. There,
right.
There you go, helping your children out.
That's right. That's no problem. And of course, that'll be paid for with, you don't know what that's going to be paid for. Okay. But but it's interesting because currently the way the government snoops is to, they buy stuff from, you know, MasterCard and Visa and Google. And they, of course, they did the Google thing and everything and so forth. And they, it's one of the things that they say, we want to protect the sensitive personnel information of law-abiding American citizens. Well, of course, as soon as they even, as soon as you say something like on the Jimmy Doan show,
to your mama.
Well, I'm gonna do a little quick tangent here. This right. Because something we were gonna use in the light notes.
Uh-huh.
They just pardoned 88 years late in Montana. They just pardoned the people that were arrested for not espionage but for
sedition.
It was 88 years later, and the sedition laws in Montana at the time required, and in fact, they were sentenced to 20 years in jail. Now, this was in 1919, and it was because if you spoke out against the First World War, and you just had to joke about it, they talked about one of the fellows in there that said, I don't think this is such a good idea, and somebody heard him, and the guy was sentenced to 20 years in jail. Now, a lot of them were commuted. But nobody was pardoned. I mean, they still had it on their records. And it was the kind of transgressions, if you want to call it, that were called sedition back in those days.
Which
were,
is basically,
were nothing.
Right.
It was nothing. I mean, it was unbelievable. And you're talking 20 years in jail. 88 years later, here it is today, they got pardoned for it. So my point is that law-abiding is, let me put it this way. If I get arrested for, something that they think is non-law-abiding, I wouldn't want to have to wait 88 years for my pardon.
Yeah, that's a long time.
It works better if you're still alive.
It does. And my guess is that most of those people ain't here.
Right.
And so they were talking about great-grandchildren. It had closed the loop and it had, you know, given closure. Yeah, BS. You know, give me a break.
Oh, well, it's a little bit of a something. If
yeah,
you
right.
Some stock in your
where's
country.
The money? That's what I want to know. Where's the Dosky?
Yeah, this 27 states had sedition laws, which, of course, was saying anything disloyal, profane, violent, scurrilous, contemptuous, or abusive about the government, soldiers, or the American flag.
Can you imagine?
Stolen.
Well, the point is they got away with it. I mean, this is the United States of America. You would expect that.
Right.
You would expect that. I mean, there are countries today where if you say something against them, they will shoot you.
How about this? During
don't make fun of my country. You'll make China out of this.
During that time, Germans were the largest ethnic group in Montana. It was also illegal to speak German, and books written in it were banned.
This was the United States 88 years ago, folks. I mean, you think, well, gosh, it's so much better today, isn't it? Well, let's go back and rewind this tape on the snooping and see how long you...
Well, apparently this guy, Clemens P. Work, he teaches graduate students at the University of Montana. you know, he's saying this rhetoric was so similar from the demonization of the enemy to saying either you're with us or you're against us to the hasty passage of laws. And he says he's seeing a lot of similarities between that and
well, what's interesting is the First World War was one of those that we almost didn't get into it. I mean, we were late in coming, shall we say.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure that we even would have, except wasn't that the sinking of the Lusitania or something like that? It was 1916 or mm-hmm. something. But we were way late in that particular war. And although we did manage to, you know, drop about 20 or 30 or 40 or 50,000 guys, there were a lot of volunteers in that war, actually. But that's when they instituted the draft, so that kids that had no idea that they were going to go over there and be sitting in a trench in their own poop for a year. I mean, seriously, you know, they went over there. That's when Jimmy Cagney, that's when they came out with over here, over there, you know,
right.
We're marching off to war and we're going to have a grand old time. Of course, that was during the early days of flying when you had the white scarf and mm-hmm. you were the Red Baron and it was all just glorious fun. I mean, you know, let's go shoot somebody down or up or whatever. And
yes, that one's down.
That was when America lost its innocence.
Well, you just mentioned something like, where's the money in this? And I just found this here. It says, Mr. Work and other historians believe that the harshness of the Montana law was influenced by the Anaconda Copper Mining Company, which dominated the state economically and viewed the law as a way to deal with labor unrest.
Okay.
Many of those charged with sedition were immigrant laborers.
Yeah.
And then he says, but the blame should also be laid at the feet of Governor Stewart, Mr. Work said. In the last 100 days of his term, he commuted 50 sentences, including 13 murderers and 7 rapists, he said, but not a single seditionist.
Yeah. No, there's no question. And again, this is what we said before, the greatest enemy of capitalism, which is the fabulous thing that has gotten us where we are today, are capitalists. And I mean,
it's their ability to use manipulate the government.
Right, exactly.
That's the corruption.
Right. It's the corruption. It's the fact that they're not going to use their own guns. They're going to get the legal guns out there to do their dirty work. No question about it. I mean, if the government was way, way smaller and didn't have all that power, then they'd have to
buy their labor.
That's it. That's right. Like the rest of us, my God, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
So anyway, we were talking about the internet, of course, and all the spying and everything. And it's interesting because the Congress just can't get enough on the internet. They're dealing with the spying and everything. And the next big thing that I want to talk about is gambling. It is interesting to see how the forces are lining up on net gambling. As you know, the whole thing on gambling. We could do a whole show just on gambling because the only way that you can have a lottery, as we do here in Florida and other, I don't know how many states, 20 or 30 states have got lotteries now, it's self-defeating. And even the idiots here have figured out that they're losing deal. They get like a 30% return. The expected rate of return, as they call it in statistics, is like 30%, which means you'll win 30 cents out of every dollar that you bet. And the worst numbers runner on the planet pays off two-thirds. I mean, that's illegal. And the only way they can get away with it, of course, is they have a self-styled monopoly, and they made it illegal. I mean, if you want to set up a Saturday night poker game in your house for anything more than minimal stakes, if it's a, you know, $1,000 buy-in, the SWAT team shows up. And no, I mean, they can, and they can arrest everybody in sight, handcuff you, and the whole nine yards. I mean, they can do that.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, the deal is the only way that they have gambling, of course, now on the internet, it's a little hard to track down.
Mm-hmm.
In the privacy of your own
servers in Malaysia.
Well, except for the fact that with this back door, you don't know anymore.
Right.
I mean, who knows? They'll figure that out. But
they could come in and literally just shut everybody's server down if they wanted to.
They send the virus through there,
right.
I guess, or something like that. I don't know. But the deal is, you know, like they did in that space movie. What was the guy? Jeff Goldblum went up there and put the virus in the mothership.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Whatever. So we're not in the mothership. Okay.
Yeah.
No, the deal is though that
mothership took C++.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Figured it's from, you know, 1,000 light years away, and it was a good
that
thing.
Damn basic code just jangled the whole system.
It's called Universal. Boy, it was nice. He happened to have it there. No problem.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, the deal is that as you know, it's illegal. So many things are illegal about this, and on so many levels, this is so hysterical. And it has to do, obviously, with the money. The gambling business is something like $50 billion or something like that. I've got the number in here someplace, and I'll find it shortly. But as you know, the gambling now is they do it offshore. In fact, when I was down in Costa Rica, I think I told you about this. One of the big guys lives down there. He's from Canada, and he has his gambling shop in San Jose. But then there's two little fly speck islands that do it down there, and I forget their names off the top of my head. Doesn't really matter. But they have a hard time stopping it. Well, what they've said is they got Visa and MasterCard to go along, says if you can't charge it anymore. And now they
got the stupidest rule. Well, go ahead.
Well, they made it illegal. For instance, here's the idea. If you send them a check, it's illegal. Mm. A wire Western Union transfer, illegal. I mean, you're thinking about it. They're trying to stop it, and why would they care? They obviously don't care if you gamble, as long as you gamble at their house, which is the lottery here, because it doesn't pay poop.
Right.
And
they want your gambling dollar.
Obviously. And the way they do it is with guns. I mean, with violence. They threaten you with a SWAT team in order to... They don't obviously don't have a problem with gambling, but they do have a problem if you want to win more money.
That's right.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
They have a problem if you don't give them their cut.
Well, I understand that. And
the cut is 70% of
the cake. So you have to really, that's a lot of money.
They actually, if they ran a legit operation, so to speak, you know, if they actually paid off the way that they're supposed to, and of course the way they make this here in Florida at any rate is when you see the gambling sign, I love it. You go down the interstate and you see two signs. You see one, gambling problem, anybody's going to admit it, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, dial 888, whatever the hell it is. Then it says
the next billboard
says today's lotto $13 million, and then underneath it says $14 billion for education.
Right.
Well, of course that's out of the $100 billion or whatever it is that they've collected.
Right.
And the rest of it has gone, you know, not to the winners. I can tell you that. I mean, it's hysterical, and of course the odds are unbelievable. Not only are the odds bad, what's so funny about this? What is really, if you talk about these guys that are so dishonest, if you go to Las Vegas and you pull the handle on the $1 million jackpot, they hand you a check for $1 million. Boom, done.
That's good.
Huh?
That's good.
Yes. That's exactly right. But here in Florida, if you win $1 million, they hand you no check. No, they hand you...
That's bad.
It's over 40 years.
Right.
They divide it up. In other words, they take the $1 million, divide it by 40, and give you 1/40th of it every year. Well, if you don't have to be a license, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. Well, maybe you do. I don't know.
It's not 20 years anymore?
No, it's gone up to 40. It was 20. No, let me put it this way. I know it's gone to... I know it's gone
corrupt.
To,
I love it.
No, I know it's gone to...
Can
at least,
I get a job
excuse
there?
Excuse me. I know, it went up 10 years. You may be right. I know it's gone to at least 30. It might be 40. In some places, it is 40. But bottom line is, whatever it is, they take your $1 million, and what do you get? You get $30,000 a year for 30 years, or $20,000 for 40, or whatever it is. I mean, you get, and you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out that $20,000 in 40 years from now is going to be worth like the price of a loaf of bread. I mean, it's
right.
What are you saying?
We have another guest on.
Well, what happens is, if you want the payout, this shows you how fraudulent these people are. I mean, what a joke this is. If you want the payout of your $1 million, they give you a check for $500,000.
Right. They give you the prorated.
The prorated. It's called the net present value.
Right.
And they do it backwards. Don't worry about it.
I love these terms,
I
got to get a job with these guys, man.
Yeah, right.
They know how to party. Steal your money.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, the point is, I mean, look at the difference. The people out in Las Vegas, and people go to Las Vegas voluntarily.
The mafia dons will give you your cash.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to get paid if you gamble with a numbers game.
That's right.
No, they will hand you your money in cash. And here are these guys. Not only that, of course, when they do hand it to you, as you well know, since it's all above board, you get taxed. At 40%,
so you get your $500,000, and they take $300,000.
And they take take $200,000.
Oh, okay.
And so, I mean, basically, if you win $1 million, you're lucky to walk away with $250,000. Mm. After, I mean, that's how bad it is. Whereas if you go to Las Vegas and you win $1 million, you're going to walk away with $600,000 because they're going to take the tax there too. Right. They have the IRS agents stationed. I mean, that must be a hell of a gig. You know that? I mean, you can imagine what a gig would be in Las Vegas. Hi, I'm from the IRS and I'm here too. Oh, I'm sorry, honey. All I got is money.
The
bells
are still going off on the slot machine, and the guy's standing there explaining who he is.
That's right, and he's
diverting partial of the coins that come out.
Well, he's diverting it in his pocket, and then it goes to the hooker next to him,
right?
And that's cool. No, I mean that
through
is
his pocket because she's got a good trick. I've seen that. It's pretty.
Trick is good.
Trick is good.
Another thing about the gambling thing is, in order to say that we don't do it here in Florida, or they don't do it in Mississippi, they'll make them put it on the boats. Right, of course.
And yeah. sometimes the boat can just be docked.
Right.
The thing.
It's even more than docked. It is on concrete. I'm serious. It's out of the water, but it it couldn't move. If you had 4 pounds of C4, it wouldn't move.
If a Katrina came by.
Yeah, but actually, that did move them. And in fact, I mean, we talked about this on one of the shows, I think. The simple fact is that they're changing the law. And they're saying now, this is so funny. I love the government, you know. They're now claiming that the barges, literally the barges, can be on land and still count as being in the I'm serious. That counts as being in the Mississippi.
These are people that we have elected.
No, they would put them in the water if it weren't for the hurricane.
That's
so,
right.
And before the hurricane.
And the fact that they're tied down with, you know, with a steel and concrete rebar. But other than that, it looks like a barge, so it would float maybe if I'm serious. So we figure it reminds me
for purposes of this act.
Exactly.
Right.
1986.
This is not dry land.
1986 on the Senate floor, Lawton Chiles.
Oh my God.
This is the Lawton Chiles. I'll never forget this. Lawton Chiles, our senator from Florida here.
Or soon to be governor.
Soon to be governor. And he, Walken Lawton, was he soon to be or had been at that point?
No, he was still soon to be.
Okay. At any rate, he stood on the floor of the Senate with the balanced budget, with the budget. And of course, they were operating under Graham Rudman Hollings, which had been passed 2 years earlier to balance and make sure the budget was balanced. And this budget was not balanced. So Lawton Chiles stood up on the floor of the Senate and put up literally a piece of paper in the front of the budget, and they voted on this, and he said, and the piece of paper said, for purposes of Graham Rudman Hollings Balanced Budget Act, we deem this budget to be balanced. And they passed it. No, I mean, there was quite a fight about it. I mean,
you really should have voted on
that. I'm telling you. I mean, they are amazing. We deem these barges to be in the Mississippi.
Unbelievable.
No, it's just, it is so funny.
Well, I tell you, the gambling thing is gonna take a center stage here pretty soon, because there's a bunch of internet gambling that's happening with this Texas Hold'em thing. I mean, what's happening is people are gambling their butts off, and they're receiving the money cards in the mail, and they're going down to the banks and taking out the cash.
Are they really? I didn't know that.
Yes.
I did not know that.
People are literally, and I'm talking about, I know people who are making their living right here in Florida, gambling on the internet, winning poker, and getting
that
winnings
course,
out
we
of
know
the
that. That's that is, they don't have to pass the law. That is totally illegal. You're not allowed to do it over state lines, for one thing. I mean, that's guaranteed illegal in this country. So already, I mean, forget what they're trying to do. What they're trying to do is to, and the WTO, interestingly enough, who would no friend of anybody, the World Trade Organization, has actually come down on the side of the little, you know, flyspeck islands out in the Caribbean, saying, wait a minute, this violates what the United States signed in the free trade. That is, you can't, this is trade like anything else, you know, so you can't just shut it off. Well, again, this is typical of, like we were talking about, I think, last week, and we're not going to get into it a lot this week. It's the immigration business.
Right.
And that is, build your Chinese wall, do whatever you want, forget it, ain't going to happen. You know, that ship sailed, they're coming over, and you can do whatever you want. Same thing with this gambling. I mean, you can pass all the laws you want. During the French Revolution, it was an automatic guillotine death sentence for selling bread over the fixed price, and people did it all the time anyway. And some people died for it. I mean, that's how bad it was. People actually got killed. But I mean, here it's going to be so pervasive that there's just no way. I think it's interesting that, of course, they are banning credit cards, checks, and wire and internet transfers. And they said it would also prohibit gambling on an estimated 2,300 internet gaming sites.
Maybe that's what they're addressing in that bill.
Well, they are. But I'm saying we get a new job. Jimmy Doan is putting himself up for a new job. What Jimmy Doan will do for the price of a first class round trip airplane ticket and a small commission, I will take your suitcase full of cash down to the Antigua and the other little, you know, whip snippet island, whatever it is down there. I forget what it is.
And play it on 34 black.
It's in Barbuda.
Play it on 34 black.
And I will, that's right. And I will play it. I will do either black or red. At your wish.
And you have full control.
Full control. That's right. Because cash is not one of the things that's banned. And I'm holding myself out. I will do it. Now, there is a
whore.
You whore. I figure if you give me a suitcase with $100,000 in it, I take a 6%, normal 6% cut.
And your engineer.
And the engineer has to go too. Right. And my attorney.
Gotta have your attorney.
Gotta have my attorney along. And two hookers. No, the hookers we can get down there, right?
Yeah.
This would be good. And yeah, because you won't have to pay for their airfare. But I'm holding myself out today. Mm-hmm. I will yield.
Well, that's mighty fine.
Yeah, you're a mighty fine gentleman.
I tell you,
mighty
it's what I again. Won't do to circumvent the to help people out with their needs by God.
This is the man
there.
Who stands behind his words, ladies
that's
and gentlemen.
That's right, way behind. So I'm telling you, you need a telescope to see how far we're talking about. A telescope. Okay. So anyway, the next thing. Are we done with that?
Yeah.
Okay. The next big news, although we're heading quickly into the light notes, mm-hmm. has to do with the Bolivia.
Bolivia?
Bolivia. Hey, compadre, in Bolivia. He went ahead and carried out his threat, blaming, of course, the United States and the evil empire, Satan, and who else?
Gotta have an enemy.
He's going to nationalize the oil and gas, and he's going to get away with it, of course. And of course, you can call it nationalized. It's called theft. Anybody,
right?
You know, and he says those rotten, you know, Citgo and Chevron and all those people and ripping us off all these. So I'm going to take their shit.
Brazil, man, been here. Yeah.
Well, Brazil is a little upset, isn't that right?
Yeah. Yeah. They're the ones who put $1 billion on there in their
Petrobras.
Yeah,
and they've invested $1 billion.
Not anymore.
Thank you so much for your billion.
But apparently, the president Luis Ignacio
and keeping the bus too.
Apparently, the president Luis Ignacio Lula da Silva, a leftist and former union leader who publicly hailed Mr. Morales' rise to power, he's really concerned because they get half of their gas from Bolivia. So,
yeah,
you know, I mean, you wonder. And of course, the
gas bags,
Petrobras, the biggest investor,
Petrobras,
they said they would take any steps necessary to protect the rights of the company and guarantee Brazil's supply of gas.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
Any steps necessary.
Yeah. I don't think Petrobras has an army.
Petrobras,
you never know.
Not.
You never know.
You never know.
Yeah.
You know,
down there, they probably got some mercs.
That's right.
I mean, like that idea, but.
This is the way it goes. It's so funny because it's all for the people, and this is this totalitarian slide. My point is it's funny because you hear the United States people coming out and they say, well, this is a terrible thing, you shouldn't do it, and what are we going to do about it? My thing is, don't do anything. This is a regime that will collapse on its own. Once you start this, and this is not only a slip, this is a greased slippery slope.
Yeah, this is a cliff wall.
No, that's right. This is a sheer
cliff wall. Yeah, no,
once you nationalize this, you have to start everything. And I'll tell you, and people are going to be inadvertently and advertently circumventing this thing, and the country's going to go down the toilet immediately. Again, that you can't without the market. Once you nationalize it, they're doomed. They're doomed.
And here's a nice quote from Morales, added that the nationalization of the hydrocarbon sector was just the beginning, because tomorrow it will be the mines, the forest resources, and the land.
And once you do the land, that's pretty much...
That's kind of all-inclusive.
Well, then
airspace.
They forgot air and water.
Right.
But you don't think...
They're landlocked.
Bolivia, actually, don't they have a little piece that goes out? I think they have a little tiny piece that goes out.
Not according to this, because they don't have a pipeline to get out there.
I thought that Bolivia had a little...
It says, landlocked Bolivia must sell to its neighbors because it lacks a pipeline to ship gas to the Pacific Ocean and from there
to
Asia.
It may lack the pipeline, but I'm going to have to look at the map. Somebody's going to correct me on that. There's one of those countries there has got a little tiny sliver. You know, it's like a little corridor that goes out to the Pacific.
All right, well, if you live in Bolivia, send us a map.
No, we can look it up here on the internet.
Well, that's work.
Okay. Yeah, I know. Right. It's all this keystroke here. Yeah.
Five clicks.
That's
man.
Right. 5 clicks. We know. That's right.
We are edumacated.
Apparently, he's given the company 6 months to agree to the
six,
new
180
contract.
Days. Yeah. Right. You. I love this.
New
you
got contract.
Six, yeah. Right. The contract. Mm-hmm. You got 6 months to agree, or
here's the contract, man.
We don't need no stinking contracts. Come on.
So anyway, yeah.
Well, it's kind of surprising that the guys who got him into power are starting to take a hit now, because usually they're the second wave. Usually you wipe out your opposition first, and then all the people who helped you get into power.
Right. No, that is straight Machiavellian.
Right.
No, straight from Machiavelli. Those of you who have not read The Prince, I mean, he talks about why you actually have to, if you're going to stay in power, you have to wipe out the people that helped you.
Right.
Because by getting in, the act of getting in usually wipes out your opposition. then at that point you're supposed to and you must wipe out your friends. And that's what I mean. Well, it's not even a book. It's like 50 pages. It's on the internet. I read it, and I'm telling you. So,
but if your amigo sense. Is Morales,
yeah, no, you're dead. Well, it's like Clinton. You know, I mean, everybody around Clinton, you know, either died, committed suicide,
absolutely.
Or went to jail.
I mean, it was amazing the correlation.
Oh no. His
the closer you were to Bill.
No. It was like a ripple thing. If you tangentially touched, you know, Clinton, you went down.
Right.
And if, especially if you're a monarch.
Yep.
Okay. So anyway, we're waiting to see. And my advice, which I normally don't like to give advice, but they're not going to take it anyway. The United States government is shut up.
I think they might as well just tell them what we think is going to happen.
Well, only because we can do an I told you so when it's
right.
Over.
Well, yeah.
So what's going to happen is it's going to go totalitarian. There's going to be basically famine. The cocoa markets will come back big time strong,
yep.
Totally strong.
Well, that makes some really good shit. So that's
well,
I'm good with that.
Well, if you think that they've been cut off, and then of course the United States is going to have to send down the helicopters, gunships to try and eradicate, which won't work.
As long as they bring some back.
But basically, it's going to be basically what they've done in Afghanistan. Now the poppies are the biggest. They have gone back up to number one crop in Afghanistan.
That's good.
That's good.
Well, you know, speaking of that, did we mention talking about that? Did we talk about the Mexican? Legalizing?
Do we? No, but we need to.
Okay, well, let me go to Bislaw's Bolivia. They speak Spanish down there. There's a big Española down there also. Okay. Anyway, that's right.
Yeah.
Because they were going to legalize. We were going to have so much fun. I was going to actually have another new job.
Right.
Because I have the timeshare.
That's right.
What we were going to do is to...
You were the hooker inspector down there when you were there, weren't you?
That's well,
making
yeah.
So they were clean and young and pretty. Wasn't that your job? You sent me a postcard. You have like a whole bunch of them around you.
I know nothing. No, I did send you a postcard, but it's not about me.
This is about,
it's about the
hookers. That's what I'm trying to tell people.
That's right. It's about the Jimmy Doan show.
Right.
So anyway, no, they're gonna legalize, you know, four lines of crack cocaine. What is that?
Just from Cheech and Chong.
Okay, yeah. And they, so basically, they were going to let the quote consumers basically
choke it out, man.
No, but they were in the process of legalizing heroin and ecstasy,
right.
And meth.
Yeah, a teaspoon of heroin. I like that.
Well, it's 25 milligrams, whatever.
A teaspoon is about what 25 milligrams is.
I know.
Yeah,
it's nowhere.
That.
No, it's way less than that. 25 milligrams, probably one high. I'm guessing. I don't know.
That's heavy shit, man.
Jimmy does not know that particular thing, but we'll probably get emails on that.
Well,
anyway, the point is that Fox backed down on this, and apparently they're going
to... Fox chickened out. That's what happened.
Fox chickened out. And that is exactly right. The Fox left the hen house on this.
I tell you what, you know, without
any eggs.
Because we were going to, seriously, that was going to be the greatest thing in the world. I mean, you talk about... where do you suppose spring break would be? You know, we're talking about, and I'll tell you something else.
The planet's rotation would alter.
The weight of humans
calculated in Cancun.
In Cancun. Well, not only that, can you imagine all the new jobs that would be created? That would stop our immigration problem. You know, the people coming
over.
I mean, seriously, you would have a job down there.
They have an immigration problem.
They would. I mean, seriously, and spring break is 6 months now, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
And the mayor of San Diego was saying, well, we want to stop drug tourism. Well, why? You know, if you don't want them to do their drugs at home, at least let them go overseas and do it.
Well, you want to go on the other side of the border. Exactly right. I mean, you'll get to export your problem. I mean, it's that simple.
Yeah.
If you want to do drugs, go over there.
Yeah.
And let the Mexicanos take care of it. I mean, it reminds me a little bit, in Boston years ago, they had the Red District or whatever they call it, where they put all the porno shops and everything like that. This is the same thing, only it's in another country.
Yeah,
you don't have to pay dork.
I think it would be perfect.
Of course, it would be perfect.
I mean,
I could sell my timeshare? I mean, that thing would rent for $1,000 a night.
Absolutely. And now, here's what I also love about this law. The way they got the consumers in there was, there's an old theory that, well, if somebody's addicted, then there's not much you can do about it. So there was going to be a waiver, and there still is a waiver, for the addicts.
Right.
Okay? So if you think about this, the backward situation this creates down there, you know, they arrest you, and you go, well, no, this wasn't my first time.
Yeah, right.
I do this every day.
Right, I'm an addict, right.
I'm a serious addict.
And the beauty of it is, what we can do...
Give me my six.
The beauty of this is... You know how they're having a big deal on counterfeiting green cards and Social Security and everything up here. You know, if you counterfeit an I'm an addict card, you know, something, you know, what you do is you get a load. We just phony up the doctor's thing that says this guy's a certified addict, you know, Dr. Jimmy Doan, whatever it is. And then they could flash that down there with their picture on it or something like that. Say, I'm an addict and, you know, walk.
Right. I mean, what amazes me, though, is that it's just so butt backwards for the turn.
Gee, I wonder why that is.
Yeah, no, I mean, how can it? Here it is. They're going to make the drugs illegal because drugs are bad, but we're going to make an exception for the people who are really bad on them.
Who have it bad.
Yeah. So, you know, like, yeah. Not the people who are just okay, they're going out and having a good time or whatever. We're going to arrest their asses.
That's right.
But if you got a real problem with this, hey, that's okay. We understand.
Yeah, you go, fine.
You know, and they've got another thing in the law down there, which still exists. If you can prove, or the judge can let you off if you can convince him that it's just for personal use.
And of course, the way you do that is with
say I'm in the band. I was just on my way to Willie Nelson's house,
right?
And you know, this bail I got
here. Caught you with 5 pounds. Well,
personal use.
I'm in the band.
I think the other way you.
I'm with the band.
I think that you also walk in with a rolled up $100 bill behind your ear.
Oh, definitely.
Right, you know, right, I think that's right. The convincing is. Hey, can I
here? Let me show you.
Yeah, let me show you, Judge.
Can I approach the bench?
Yeah, man. Approach the
sideline
for a sideline. Can we go sideline, Your Honor?
No, I'm in your chambers.
We're going to need the picture off the wall there.
Yeah.
No, the one with the glass. No, the glass frame.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Something nice and smooth. Clean, too. Nice mirror would be good. Okay. Anyway, so you'd get off, you know, big deal. You would have certainly... I mean, you can think about being a Mexican attorney down there, you know, Garen. Like they have PIs here, you know, personal injury attorney. You have, I will get you off from your narco bust, buddy.
You know, I mean, you won't spend one night in jail, man.
No,
that's not a problem.
Not a problem, man.
Payment in all kinds of different things.
Oh, you won't believe what I take, man.
But we talked there.
I get paid, man. Okay,
that's right.
You got something for me.
Yeah, it can't be alive if it's not human or something like that. I'm not taking no chicken.
I hope your dick's bigger than this.
I was gonna whip that thing out, but I made you put the thing away.
What was that?
Your generation.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
You spawned his generation, but it's not your.
I did. I was thinking about cutting it off too. I'll tell you that. Talk about spawning. The next thing that I had. Now we're going to some light notes. Okay.
Okay, dog.
So I did want to mention a couple of things that I've got, and you guys can chime in anyway. I thought it was interesting that down here in Ocala, Marion County, they want to license panhandlers and beggars. And it costs $100 for a license, and you. Apparently they've already done it in the city.
Get the book out of here.
Exactly.
I heard him say book. You heard book, right? I heard him say get the book out of here.
And I'll tell you, no, it's funny because as you know now, door to door salesmen have to have a tag on a lot of places. They have to have a little tag where they're from, some ID, in other words.
I am a pedophile.
Yeah. I'm here to
sell security systems.
We already talked about that.
Yeah,
right?
That guy last week.
Yeah, that's right. The deal is that they have to wear a sign that says I'm a beggar or whatever it is, and then they pay $100.
I'm a beggar.
It's
so easy. What do we call these guys?
Yeah, well,
are they financially challenged?
I'm serious. They're going to pass this law.
Beggar.
Now, here's the deal. It's so funny because here in Alachua County.
It just says bum.
Yeah.
Bum, right.
Beggar. B-U-M. Beggars. Beggar management. Under management. Beggars under management.
That's right. I'm a bum. So, now, the thing is that years ago here in Alachua County, they threw it out. It was $3,000 to tell fortunes. They didn't want fortune tellers, so the license cost $3,000. And I'm serious. And they said, well, we think that might be kind of a restraint of trade, and you know, because nobody inspects the thing.
Spanish Inquisition.
Well, to tell if they're telling the truth or not. I mean, right. Whatever. You didn't tell my fortune, you're out. You know, whatever. I mean,
we did a review of the last fortunes you've told 5 years ago.
That's right, and it didn't come true.
70% didn't come true.
You're out.
You mean 30% did? Exactly.
Hey, I'm rich. That's it. I'm going on TV. No, the deal
better
is
better than the weather, man. I'm telling you.
Boy, is that the truth? Yeah, they ought to arrest somebody. They ought to arrest. That's the weatherman. The deal is though that they want to charge $100. So here's a guy who spends his whole life getting liquor and crack, and where's he going to get $100? I mean, and walk in sober, pick up the license and the thing, fill out the paperwork, and, and of course he's a beggar, so you know I'm sure on there's going to be like home address, you know, Woods.
Right, exactly. On the corner of 13th and Archer. Yeah, I live in that little wedge of grass right
there. Yeah, bridge over troubled waters, whatever it is. Bridge on I-75.
What boggles my mind is that the administration, well, it doesn't matter. I know why they think this. They continually believe that the criminals, that the worst, the dregs of society, are competent and that they have something to live for in the sense that they're going to take steps to ensure their future. You know, these people, I'm telling you, the very bottom tier, now I'm not talking about most people who are in jail today, because most people in jail, they're normal people, but the very bottom tier, the real criminals, they don't have the wherewithal to get out of bed. It's only because they don't have a bed that they get out of bed. And I mean, and to think that they're going to fill out a piece of paper and collect $100 to go pay somebody?
Right. Can you imagine them counting it out, though, with these wrinkled old one? They said, actually, the city of Ocala said they sold one in like 7 years. Come they on. Actually sold. Yes, they sold one.
Can you trade cans for the thing or what?
Well, you can trade cans for cash. Can you imagine you're going in there with your shopping cart?
Right.
And, I mean, you think about it. To think that the city, the county commission is actually spending time on this. I mean, it's just. I mean, they are being paid way too much. Yeah,
there's somebody who's a bum licensed checker.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing is, and it turns out that here's the beauty. If you don't do it, it's a $500 fine and 30 days and jail time, up to 6 months in jail or something like that. I mean, they already, but I mean,
you have nothing. So I insist you give me $500.
That's right. No, that's number one. Okay. So that's first. So
can I borrow it?
Yeah. So anyway,
loan it to you at 20%.
No, think about it. This is obviously here's the way this snowball works. It's so cool. First of all, they pass the law that says you got to have a license. So nobody's going to get a license. Nobody got $100. So they go down, and one day they go to the sweep, and they say, where's your license? What are you talking about? So they take him to jail, and they put $500 on their ticket or whatever. He's going to work it off at 12 cents a day or whatever they do that stuff. And he's in there for 6 months. Well, of course, the jail fills up with these people. And then the sheriff comes back and says to the county commission, I need money. So they raise taxes to shelter the homeless in the jail. And here we go, solved homeless problem.
That's what you're saying. They just solved their own problem.
They just solved their homeless problem.
We just had to pay for it.
Right.
Right. And unlike all of our great homeless solutions that we had on a previous Jimmy Doan show, go back to the archives and check it out.
That's right.
We discussed that.
We had to.
Great length.
Ours cost, we were going to solve it for about $30.
Yeah. A new museum.
Is that lead? Is that $30 worth of lead?
Part of it involved a Greyhound bus to the county line.
Really? We didn't use any messy lead either.
Yeah, no. Messy lip.
Gallon of gasoline, bullets. You can burn 15, 20. No problem.
No problem. We had.
So
we covered that. Yeah, that's another show. Postal Service, you know, they just the rates were just raised, January?
Don't know why I put these in order.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know why you were doing it either, but I just listened to you.
Well,
you were serious about it.
Our attorney said he didn't want them in order, so we're going, I'm doing it on, and I'm bowing to his, I'm bowing to his infinite
your
wisdom.
Your papers are not in order.
Not anymore.
That's right. They want to raise it another 3 cents.
Forever stamp. Forever stamp. You got
to
say
the forever stamp. Well, the forever stamp, of course, is typical government, is not a forever stamp.
No.
What it is, and of course, this is so great about this. Right off the bat, you'd realize the problem with the forever stamp. The way the forever stamp is supposed to work is this. They want to raise the rate to 42 cents, not 3
from
cents.
From 39,
From 39 to 42, 3 cents, okay. Then what they do is, if you buy this special 42-cent forever stamp, which probably will be 42 cents, the next time they raise the rates, you can use those stamps. Mm-hmm. Now, think about it for a second. Why would you load up on 42-cent stamps, except the night before the shift was to go to the next week?
Right,
right.
I mean, the fact is that if you think that anybody's going to buy any
stamp run.
Stamp run, exactly right. I mean, so the bottom line is...
$1 billion.
No, I'm serious. Yep. Think about it for a second. So they do this. I mean, the mathematical calculations of this are so funny. So they sit there and they say, okay, let's say 2 years from now, they decide to raise the rate to 44 cents.
2 years.
I said hypothetically, I'm this is a joke. This is Jimmy Doan's show.
Astronomically, hypothetically.
Well, I was laughing at you, too.
Okay. So anyway, the night before, you know, they sell $1 billion worth of 42-cent stamps. Mm-hmm. And the question is, of course, when does the 44-cent rate take effect? Well, it's when they run through that $1 billion, mm-hmm. of course, obviously, for all those people. So, I mean, the rates then become, like, not rate hike. I mean, you don't...
And what about everybody with metered mail?
Lovely meter, miss.
There, well, good point.
you know?
Again, don't know. I mean, this is how shallow these people think. I mean, they come up with an idea that makes no sense. I mean, on six different levels.
Why don't they just reduce it, make one 10-cent stamp, and then just have multiples of that?
That's one way you could do it. I mean, and of course, we already have that. It's called the 1-cent stamp. And it's
day one.
So I don't know. It's hard to have to worry about that.
A little hard to see the address with 50 stamps.
Oh, well, I told you when I was down in Guatemala, they do that. I mean, literally, they allow you in Guatemala to stack the stamps so that you just see the.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, I'm serious. I'm serious. I'm dead serious. You stack stamps on
there. They allow you to attach an extra envelope with stamps on it?
No. No, it's not that. What they do is you are allowed to glue one stamp on top of another as long as you slide it just enough so that you can see the money.
Well, then maybe we could sell them
the little edges,
right? Yeah, with the little thing on there.
Well, except the little minor problem with that, I think you'd feel it. And of course, we're talking Guatemala.
No, but we could.
Oh, you mean here?
They can. Well, no, we're going to sell it to them, but we're going to sell them at a reduced rate. But we'll give them 50-cent stamps, and it'll just be 49, pieces of stick'em, and then one cent stamp on the top. You know, we sell them as books.
Well, that's true. That's right. One way to do it. Okay, but. That's a little too complicated.
And it's illegal.
We could make
probably
dimes.
Yeah. I mean, my God. I'm telling you, we could.
For every $100 spent, you can make at least 10 cents.
Yeah, boy, I'll tell you, what a rate of return on that. No, so anyway, the forever stamp is not the forever. It's just until the next.
Apparently, each penny increase in the price of a gallon of gasoline cost the post office $8 million. And apparently, this year they're going to be $2 billion in the red.
Well, the thing about it is, it's unfortunate that the post office is in the Constitution because it really should be privatized. They claimed, of course, that they privatized it, but they obviously think about it. They didn't. Number one, number two, I don't know if you know this, but the law says that when they propose a rate increase, it takes a year. By law, it takes a year. So everybody has a year to figure it all out.
There ought to be a law that says they can't say that a government institution has been privatized unless it's been privatized.
I couldn't agree with you more. But again, this is the same thing. Do governments ever lie? I mean, no. I trust the government.
You can trust them.
Yeah, I know. I mean, what is phenomenal to me is, once again, are you going to believe what I tell you or what your lying eyes see? And people believe what people tell them all the time. And you only have to look and see it. It's a pack of lies.
It looks like your bedroom and your wife, but it's really not.
Yeah, exactly. That's that Dean Martin movie. There was one where he said, always deny it, and his wife walks in on him while he's in bed with some girl. And she's sitting there saying, what are you doing? He says, what girl? What girl? As the girl is getting dressed and walking out the door, and he says, what? What girl? What girl? And finally, at the end, the wife just says, she's looking around, she's, I guess not. So she believed what he said
that's Goebbels right there. You know, if you tell a lie.
Oh, yeah, no question.
People start to believe.
No, it's unbelievable. So anyway, this is, I mean, the fact is that that UPS and FedEx managed to make a dime, and DHL, which charges a fortune, by the way.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to figure if there's UPS, DHL, FedEx, all those companies up there. I think that before too long, if we just sort of stop funding the post office, those things will take over.
Well, we can't stop. The point is that the taxpayers pick up the balance. Post office, by law, when they, quote, privatized it, is supposed to not run a deficit. But they do, and of course they come back to, it's like when they sell. They sell here, for instance, locally, they sell what they call full faith revenue bonds in Alachua County here. And they want to build something that's supposed to pay for itself, like a new electric plant, for instance. Well, if it doesn't, the taxpayers have to pick up the tab. I mean, the fact is those bonds are going to get paid. Right. And no matter what, even if the underlying collateral blows up, it doesn't matter. Those bonds are going to get paid. It's the same thing with the post office. They're going to get paid. And of course, the deal is that what the big complaint that they always come up with across the board is, what about the children? No, what about
email?
What they say is, who would deliver to that farmer or that Indian at the bottom of the Grand Canyon? You know, it costs, if you want to send a letter to the bottom of the Grand Canyon,
42 cents or whatever, 39 cents.
39, it's 42 now, I think. It's 39, 39, it's going to be 42. But that's what and the guy goes down there like once or twice a week on a mule or something and delivers the mail to wherever the post office is at the bottom. I mean, and it got to cost $2 a letter to deliver down there, but it's the same thing they do here with our bus service. Bus service costs like $4 a ride. You only have to pay $1. I'm paying the other $3, and I haven't received a thank you note yet. don't think that's fair. Anyway,
well,
that's
you
what
can
they
thank
do.
Them for not letting the bus drive along your road here.
That's well, I suppose. Hard. Well, speaking of driving along the road, you know, of course, now they're talking about converting a lot of these buses to biodiesel.
Yeah.
And bad idea.
Well, the Army has ordered, what, those big, heavy new trucks, I think, aren't they trying the biodiesel?
Okay.
Of course, biodiesel is what? That's the...
used vegetable oil.
Yep. Well, it's like the stuff they dump from McDonald's french fries or something.
Bins.
Correct.
Huh? Yeah, McDonald's french fry bins.
Okay, and so here you're riding around in Iraq or something in right. one of these biodiesel things, and your thing smells like a McDonald's french fry.
You are craving McDonald's french fries as you drive around Iraq.
This, I got to say.
But, I mean, they're going to do it. I mean, they're actually going to buy 24 or 30 of these vehicles. I mean, it's a done deal.
There is a... This
odor pollution.
This reveals the hangar dogs had a great solution for the war, and that is a McDonald's bomb. Because, of course, no country that has McDonald's in it has ever war with another country.
Oh, that's right. That's
and
right.
So what you do is you just drop a bomb of McDonald's is all over the place.
Well, it wouldn't be a bomb. What you do is you think about it. If they can drop a Sherman tank out with
right.
parachutes.
You do the whole building
including Ronald. Including Ronald. No, this would be great. Because what they
Grimace,
do is...
you need to suit up, Hamburglar, you're next.
Green light jump. No, what's great about this is, you know how you see around here, as you see some building under construction, you wonder what the hell's going to be, right?
Right.
And finally, it gets to be almost completed, and then there'll be, it says, McDonald's coming soon.
Right.
The beauty of it is in Iraq is there's nothing there except a sign that says, McDonald's coming soon.
And out in the distance, you hear the...
What's
that dot in the sky? What's that speck in the sky? It's a bird. It's a plane.
It's a golden arches.
That's it. It's
rolled up. I had the thought of McDonald's in a suitcase, you know, like a suitcase bomb.
Oh, you mean you unfold it and it pops up
exactly.
like a
pop tent? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like a, well, yeah, that's a thought. That's a thought. They could do that if you had a tent with golden arch tent. but the fact is, you gotta have all of the main thing is you gotta have the French fries because what they do is if they have enough McDonald's over there, then they can fuel the trucks to kill the Iranians and Iraqis insurgents.
Right.
And of course, the insurgents.
It was just Iranians first.
Right. This is the beauty of it. You go fill up at the McDonald's.
Right.
I mean, no, you eat food,
and
the truck gets gas or biodiesel. And then you go kill people.
It's like an all-American institution.
Oh, it's perfect. I mean, no, this is it.
And when they went to shoot, like, flamethrowers with the fry grease as well.
No, I mean, you could, no,
oh,
I mean,
yeah,
this is,
man.
You could have the posters, McDonald's goes to war.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and then Ronald wants you.
Ronald.
I mean, this is so cool. I mean,
Ronald wants you.
No, then the only little minor problem, of course, is as the guys in the tank start to pork up, they're going to have to make the tanks a little bigger.
Little hatches are looking a little skippy.
That's right. You know, get in the hatch.
Dom DeLuise trying to wedge on in there. Well, you got that grease. You can just grease up the sides.
That's true. That's right. I mean, you talk about slipping through enemy lines.
Oh, man.
That's bad. Okay.
Yeah, and the want for war, that's for sure.
You think about it. I've always said that one of the reasons that the Berlin Wall fell and all that kind of stuff was that they all wanted Dial soap and blue jeans.
Levi's destroyed the wall. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, you could go over before that wall came down. Levi's were like hundreds of dollars of course you get arrested by the cops over there
if you try to sell them.
Black market. Well, is black market is American secret.
Yeah, no, they were. Well, which is called the free market in any other. And the black market is the truly free market,
right?
Except for the fact the government doesn't like it.
You're not free anymore. If they
big
well, that's right. But I mean, the bottom line is it's the ultimate in a voluntary relationship. What's interesting about that is that there, when you have that kind of a trade, it's interesting because there's no warranty, there's no guarantee, there's no FDA, there's no approval, there's no.
No licensing,
no nothing.
And how do you trust?
Yeah, how do you trust? right, exactly. And you trust that guy before you trust. Folks, think about it. You know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that. You don't have to be a rocket surgeon to figure this out.
That's right.
Roy Kaiser.
That's right.
That's it.
So anyway, that's it. Anything else you got?
I have this, the spanked employee seeks $1.2 million.
Now, you don't suppose that's about the money, do you?
Oh, my God.
What was she employed doing?
She worked for Alarm One Incorporated, And they had some kind of a camaraderie building exercise.
An outward bound type of thing?
I think it was probably actually in their building.
Inward bound.
No, what it was is employees were paddled with rival companies' yard signs as part of a contest that pitted sales teams against each other, according to court documents. The winners poked fun at the losers, throwing pies at them, feeding them baby food, making them wear diapers, and swatting the buttocks. And then she goes, no reasonable middle-aged woman would want to be put up there before a group of young men turned around to show her buttocks, get spanked, and called abusive names, and told it was to increase sales and motivate employees. And apparently...
motivated her for $1.2 million.
Motivated her to make $1.2 million. She's suing for alleged discrimination, which, again, there was other women...
You're not pulling race card?
Assault, battery, and infliction of emotional distress.
Well, I can tell you, let me tell you something. My feeling on that is that any company... In this day and age...
Well, the spankings are part of a voluntary program.
Yeah, okay. You can say what you want. I tell you, you've got a company that has spankings involved or something like that.
I'm there, man.
Yeah, I know.
I am there.
Yeah, I know. I understand that.
She was 53.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry.
You are asking for trouble.
I don't care who you are. You are asking for trouble.
But I don't care if she signed. Why can't you just opt out?
That part I don't know.
You say no.
They intimidated her.
They have pressure, man.
But still, right. Even so.
$1.2 million.
She's not getting it. Curtis is throwing it. She's going to get it.
No way.
Yeah, she'll get it.
She'll get something.
I think she'll get it.
We should do a little illegal wager on the Jimmy Doan show and figure out.
This is internet gambling.
40 quatroons on the newcomers.
Excuse me.
Quatloos.
Those are quatloos.
It's Star Wars Day, not Star Trek Day.
Oh, that's right. It's doubloons.
Okay.
Today is Star
Wars Day.
Today is Star Wars Day. Oh, well,
May the 4th be with you.
Well, one of my favorite things, may the 4th be with you.
Yeah, that's what it's supposed to be.
Anubis.
May 4th be with you. I like that. That's like I told people that every time they ask me what time it is, and I say, well, it's 2:30, and then they say that's Chinese dentist time, and they, well, whatever. Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
There you go. Okay. Did you see that they're going to end soda sales in all the schools?
I saw that, it's the sugar stuff, right?
Anything with sugar in it is not going to be served now at high schools, middle schools, elementary schools.
Anything with sugar.
No, they're still going to serve...
Gatorade.
Yeah. Sport juices and juice.
That's where the Red Bull went.
Oh.
35 million students are going to be affected by this as part of, I guess, I'm sure that their health promotion. But boy, I'll tell you.
And the Pepsi and Coke people signed on.
They've already made
$27 billion. Well, off these kids and these machines.
And now they're not going to make any more $1 billion.
Yeah, right.
That's
they'll
the
just
problem.
Make it someplace else. I mean, duh. Just because they're not going to make it there doesn't mean they're not going to make it.
Right. They will, of course they will.
And I don't think it's a bad idea anyway.
Remember that? Didn't you used to sell bubble gum at school?
I sold all kinds of things at school.
I'll bet.
I had my own black market, so I mean, I'm a free marketer, dude. I'm a capitalist. It's just that.
Can you see now what'll happen? You'll have some of the kids in there. Oh.
I'm talking about kids. Drinking
coke. I'm gonna go in there with a 12 pack of coke.
This kid was selling coke in my school.
I got
a coke for $5.
Well, you know what? Kids don't want to go to school. You know, I think it's one of the funny things about school is that kids a lot of times, school, they're bored to death. I don't want to go. Can I stay home? Everything else. And yet every time you have a transgression at school, what do? They kick you out.
Yeah, they send you home.
Hello. Again, typical logic. What's logic spelled backwards anyway? Yeah.
So the only other thing I got is I thought this was interesting, and I actually have a soundbite for it. A restaurant fined for cruel lobster display.
I saw that. I mean, what was that all about?
Well, apparently they were... This is an Italian restaurant.
It's Italian,
was fined 688 euros or $855 for displaying lobsters on ice to attract patrons in an innovative application of its anti-cruelty law. It said that lobsters laying on ice suffer. They compare them to cord and other animals like cats and dogs. Italy has some of the world's toughest animal rights laws. The city of Rome in October banned goldfish bowls seen as cruel, while Turin passed a law last year that would fine dog owners 500 euros unless they walked their canine friends at least 3 times a day.
Canine friend.
And who counts that?
Canine citizens.
Yeah. That's right.
So
boating canines right over here.
All right, but I did get a soundbite for this.
Okay.
Of the lobsters on the ice.
Oh, okay.
Oh, man, it's so freaking cold. I'm freezing my tail off of here. Honey, will you hold my car? Jesus, that's a freezing off.
So there you go.
That's good. That's good.
That's a pretty good...
Where'd you have to get that?
Maybe.
Made it at school.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah,
I made it at school.
Yeah. That's what school's good for. Well,
and they made it on the ice, and now they're little lobsters, thank God.
That's right. No, but I mean, I'm blown away when you think about the cruelty business and think about... Of course, here in Gainesville, they have got a bunch of those things, too. They arrested some kids because they shot chickens because they were making noise in the morning, and they arrested the fraternity kids.
Well, what I find is interesting is going to happen is the people, those people get pitted against each other. Like now they have the salmon people versus the sea lion.
Yeah. No,
pretty soon they'll be killing each other just like an abortion
bill. Well, that's what's going to be funny.
It's going to be the best.
When humans actually kill each other in order to save other organisms.
Right. Well, we had to, the thing from Vietnam, we had to destroy the village in order to save it.
Right.
But I love this Cachetto or whatever told Reuters, of course Reuters always, my kids were shocked by the display. And this is a lobster in a tank, right? Or an ice or something.
Yeah.
They were shocked, mind you.
Right.
Shocked.
Right.
Well, who taught them to be shocked? Give me a break. A lobster. You know, I mean, it's
Paul
not
McCartney.
Like, I can understand, sometimes I can understand. Maybe, like you say, dogs and cats, people anthropomorphize, as we say, dogs, cats, horses, because they can look at you with their little sheepy eyes, and they kind of look semi-human, whatever.
Intelli-
but a lobster?
Yeah.
I mean, who pets a lobster? I'm sorry.
Put your hand in the tank.
Shake hands with my lobster.
I had a pet lobster named Floppy that I loved that died.
Well, I know, but that was...
I hope he died in drawn butter.
It drowned in hot, bubbling, drawn butter.
Otherwise, it would have been a terrible waste.
Look, I can't believe this father. I mean, these guys need to throw a live lobster down his trousers. Man, that's so wrong. These kids were so hurt, they won't sleep up for days. Duff, harden them up. Well, I mean, this is like so many things. Where do they draw the line? I mean, what about a prawn or something? You know, shrimp? I don't know.
Well, prawn communicates, so you can't. Don't kill that.
Well, I mean, it just goes. I mean, you're going to eat the thing in 15 minutes.
Yeah, right.
You're going to cook it and eat it. I mean,
you're going to throw it into boiling water
alive. Yeah, you probably want to cool it off a little bit on the ice first.
You remember?
I'll never forget
this.
Of course,
in Geneva. Coming back through Geneva, and we saw that saw the lobster down at Ivoire.
Right.
Saw the lobster. Wanted to eat that baby. No, we had to wait till we got back to Geneva and then walk by the lobster restaurant. And boy, those are some good lobsters. I'll tell you. But I don't think we'd have had lobster if we hadn't seen it.
I've got one of the funniest videos of this woman trying to cook a live lobster. I may have to post it on the Jimmy Doan Show as a little download. It was something I got. It is absolutely hysterical. And anyway, her fiasco trying to get this lobster to pot. She is screaming and dancing and jumping up and down. It's amazing.
And people make this thing so traumatic. I used to cook so many lobsters, and you'd tear them in half while they were alive.
For God's sake.
Yeah, I'm Nantucket. What do you think the food of the du jour was?
That's right.
I mean, you would tear these things in half while they were alive.
Dude, look, the Toto's los
duers. There was some organization they've been studying whether or not lobsters feel pain that you and I can recognize as pain. For years and years and years, and they finally came back with just a few years ago as, no, they don't
no.
feel the pain. Yes, there is a sensation that's, you gotta get away from the heat, or, you gotta, I've been torn in half. But there's not the sensation
It's a flesh wound.
Exactly. And they know that their life is going for the betterment of my life.
Of course, they got no flesh. So,
right.
I mean,
Well, they inside.
I know, but I'm the exterior.
Oh, look, it's my tail way over there. Oh, look, it's like my tail on that plate over there. Oh, shazzy.
She's eating it. Oh, I'm not going to get that back.
At least I want to know, was it any good? Was that any good?
Is this like the little frogs you see on crutches because everybody's eating frogs?
Frog legs, baby.
Yeah,
on down. Buttery. Love them.
Okay, I'm done. Anything else? What's next? Anything?
Just got a thought of the day.
Which is?
The greater the number of laws and enactments, the more thieves and robbers there will be. And this was written in by Lao Tzu, a Chinese philosopher.
Lao Tzu,
Lao Tzu in 604 to 531 B.C.
It took him a long time to write that. That's only one sentence. Are you kidding me?
But it's a very, very
complex language if I ever would. Took him that long to write it?
Yep.
Woo!
Pretty died the next day.
That reminds me of my... of the Star Wars quote, of course. It's the Star Wars day.
Uh-huh.
The more you tighten your grip, Lord Vader, the more star systems will slip through your fingers.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's right. And we need a little...
Daddy! Daddy!
Daddy!
All right.
Hey. What's a good show?
Yeah.
Great show, baby.
Thank you, folks. And listen, don't forget to sign up if you want to be. We're gonna email you. Don't forget to sign up.
On the index page again, there's a link that you can click on to notify us, to tell us if you want to be on the mailing list. Because even if you guys are registered to podcast places, those places only update sometimes once every 24 hours. So if you really want to get the instantaneous notification that as soon as it shows up there, shoot us an email and I'll put you on the list.
And then everybody can talk about it around the digital water cooler.
Right.
Digital water cooler.
Digital
that's
water
right.
cooler.
We'll have to get on iChat.
That's a great blog name. We should have the digital water. I'm sure somebody's done it. We'll check it out.
We'll check it out. That's right. Okay, so there was something else I wanted to say, and I totally forgot what it was.
Thank you to everybody.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. Keep up the good work, and we'll see you shortly, I hope.
Yeah.
I love you.
Thank you, EJ.
My pleasure.
Thank you,
my
Curtis.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Jimmy. See you probably shortly. Don't forget to listen to Hanger Dogs.
Hanger Dogs.
Let's see, they should have a new one up here real soon.
Like, probably the next, by the time you hear this, it should be
up. They should have. Yeah, they should have one. Okay. Bye-bye.
Hasta la pasta.
Oh, that's right. I want to say, buenos dias, buenos noches, buenas tardes, a mis amigos, amigas, en
España.
Que hablan español.
¿Quién habla?
Bueno.